So we are doing this series, Triumphing in Life. As our circumstances get more and more challenging, and so I've entitled this one, Prospering in Challenging Circumstances. As our circumstances get more challenging, as we become more aware of the fact that we are not from this world, as we are only passing through, that the culture of the kingdom is a completely different culture from the culture of the world. And as we come to realize that, we come to understand that there's a way in which God wants us to still triumph. There's a way in which God wants us to still be victorious. He has called us to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He has not called us to go and hide in caves. He has not called us to bury our heads in the sand. He has called us to stand and to shine bright in the midst of darkness. And so this morning I want to share again, looking at the life of Joseph and the life of Daniel, just to remind us of some principles that can enable us to prosper no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And the first thing I want to highlight is that we need to come to a place where we just allow God to be God. One of the things that have become very real to me recently is that He's God and I'm not. He's God and I'm not. He's in control, I'm not in control. So I can just relax, I can just put my faith and trust in Him and allow Him to do what only He can do. And so I want to read from Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, look at the life of Joseph. I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in his house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, Come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. And I'll stop there. So we all know the story. We are very familiar with it. Last week I shared about Joseph being the favorite of his father, and his father gave him this fancy robe, and how much his brothers hated him. And we ended with him being put in a pit, and now he's sold into slavery. And Joseph had gotten two dreams. And if I was to look at it in the natural, I'd be like, I don't see how on earth these dreams are going to be fulfilled. It just, maybe he had too much venison the night before or something, but there's no way any of these dreams are going to be fulfilled. But if we come back to realize that God is God and we are not, then one of the things I've highlighted here is that God's plans and God's sovereignty is not limited by man's activity. When God declares a thing and he wants to accomplish it, nothing that humans do can prevent it. Because he's God, and we are not. And that therefore gives me peace. I can relax, no matter what the circumstances look like. For example, God has said in his word that He will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said it, his church, he's going to build it. So I don't need to worry. I can just sit back and relax. And the world might get more hostile to the church. I'm not worried because he's the one who's going to build his church and he's the one who's declared that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the sovereignty of God is not limited by what humans do. He's going to accomplish his will whenever he decides he wants to do it and however he wants to do it, he's going to do it, and we just have to sit back and realize that he's in charge. And so it turns out that here Joseph is sold into slavery. And what might appear to be, in the eyes of the normal person, a coincidence, is really God at work. Because he's bought by Potiphar. And Potiphar has connections to Pharaoh. The Bible says he was the captain of the guard. So he's not just bought by any little Egyptian. He's bought by a man of influence. And that, friends, is very, very significant. God was at work in the midst of David's, in the midst of Joseph's circumstances. In the midst of a circumstance that seems dismal, you're a slave. You've dropped further than where you were before. You say God is going to cause you to rule over your family and over others, but you're a slave. But God was still at work. It was God's divine arrangement. God has a way of using even unsaved people to fulfill his plans and purposes. And they don't realize it sometimes. They don't understand how the hand of God works. But you and I need to realize that God is not limited by using only believers. He will use whoever he wants to accomplish his will and his purposes. Jimmy says he'll use even a donkey. He will. Because he's sovereign. You can see a similar parallel in the life of Daniel. Again, these Hebrew boys, Daniel and his friends, are taken into exile by the Babylonians. Circumstances over which they have no control. But yet still, when it came to things happening, you can see through the book of Daniel, the hand of God at work, causing Daniel and his friends to be chosen by the king, to be educated at the highest level amongst the Babylonians. And so I want to encourage us that when circumstances look dismal, just keep your faith and your trust in Almighty God. He has a way of working things out. Sometimes we don't understand it. But all we need to do is to put our faith and trust in the God whom we served. And one of the things I want to encourage us to always affirm, no matter what the circumstances look like, is that God is in control. It is not the president who is in control of what happens in terms of the plans of God. It is not the Senate nor the Congress who determines how the plans of God come into existence. It is God. And God has allowed these individuals to have a certain sphere of influence, but when he's ready, he intervenes and does his own thing. And that makes me excited because my hope is not in men, my hope is in God. So we need to learn that. That's one of the important things for us to know how to reign no matter what our circumstances are. To know how to prosper in difficult times is to realize that God is in control. I don't have to solve all of these things myself. I can relax and just put my faith and trust in God. The second thing is to, I put it here, latch on to the secrets of prosperity. Which for both Joseph and Daniel, they understood some things. That one, they need to maintain right priorities. That it's always God first. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus said in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. If we want to see God intervene in our lives and our circumstances, then what we need to do first of all is to make sure that he's number one. That there's no competition. That we don't put God beside material things. We don't put God beside success. But it's God and God alone. No matter what happens, He's going to be number one in my life and should be number one in your life. That's what Daniel and his friends did. They made sure that God was always number one. Joseph did a similar thing. That's why Joseph said, "How could I do this thing and sin against God?" So his concern was, I need to be pleasing my God, despite the success that I have, despite the pressures that have been brought upon my life, I need to make sure that God is number one. It says in Genesis 39 that the Lord was with Joseph, that's verse 2. So he is in the midst of slavery, but God is with him, and it says, and he prospered. What that says to me is that we have been told some things by people about prosperity, but they haven't given us the full gamut of things. Because if he's a slave, then how do you mean he prospered? He doesn't own anything, he's owned by his master. And I believe, friends, that we need to understand what prosperity is all about. I put here number 4. It comes from a Hebrew word, salak, which means success. It means success. It means really to have God's presence and God's favor in our lives and upon our lives, no matter what the circumstances is. So prosperity is not primarily material things. Prosperity is to know that God is with you and you have God's favor in your life. And if you recognize that, then you are already prospering. And that's why Joseph, it could be said, he prospered even though he was a slave, because God was with him, showing him favor. So many people have material things, but they don't have the presence of God, and it causes them to become miserable. There was one man in the Gospels who came to Jesus and says, "Lord, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me." And Jesus says, "Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you two?" That's in Luke chapter 12. And in verse 15 of Luke 12, he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So you can have a lot of stuff, but you have nothing because you don't have God. And so Jesus told them this parable of a rich man whose crop produced a lot, and he built barns and says, "Soul, you're all right. You have so much put up, you can relax now." And the Bible says that very night, the Lord says, "Your soul is required of you." And the man died. And so all of that material things was of no use to him anymore. And Jesus' response was, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. And so when God is talking about us prospering, he's talking about us prospering in our relationship and our walk with the Lord. That's paramount. That's the most important thing. Because material things come and they go. Paul says he has learned to be content with a little bit and with much. He came into this world with nothing much. So therefore, as long as I have life and breath and can move about and I have God's presence and God's favor, I'm prosperous. And so God caused Joseph to prosper. God started to show him favor. And his favor was of such that whatever Joseph put his hand to, it was successful. So much so that the master noticed something. It's like everything this young man touches is successful. Things happen. And so Joseph was there prospering in a very difficult circumstance. Rather than griping and complaining and being bitter against his brothers, he learned to embrace God's presence and God's favor in his circumstances, and that caused him to prosper. And because of that, Potiphar promoted him and put him in charge of everything else. But one of the things Joseph did was to not only make God his number one priority, but he established some boundaries. He established some boundaries. And one of the boundaries was that he was not going to sin against God. Daniel and the Hebrew friends did the same thing. They were not going to sin against God. In Daniel chapter 6, you know, Darius appointed 120 men, satraps they call them, and he was going to put 3 men over in charge of the 120, and Daniel was supposed to be one of them. And there was jealousy. And the people gathered and they're trying to figure out how can we undermine Daniel? And the Bible says they examine his life and they look at everything and they could find nothing, no corruption, no inconsistencies. But it says only one way we're going to get him is based upon his relationship with God. And so they organized themselves and they went to the king and says, King, why don't you pass a decree that nobody can pray or make any request to anyone except you? And the king says, that sounds good. That's in Daniel chapter 6. And the Bible says there in Daniel 6 that after that decree was made, these men came and spied on Daniel, but Daniel continued his routine as he has always done before. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. It's as Daniel says, I don't care what decree the king has passed. I don't care what the king wants to say. I've already established some boundaries. I'm going to keep praying to my God. I'm going to keep serving my God. I'm going to keep living by the word of my God, irrespective of what people in authority might say. So I'm saying to us, friends, that we as a people of God, you and me, we need to establish some clear boundaries based upon God's word. I'm talking about prospering. I'm not talking about trying to win men's favor. I'm talking about wanting to walk in the favor of Almighty God. Establish some boundaries. You all know the story of Daniel. Because of Daniel's boundaries, he ended up being cast into the lion's den. He never promised it's always going to be nice and easy. He just promised he's going to be with us no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. I don't know what's going to happen in this country, but I do know that God is going to be with us no matter what happens. And I do know that God will work miracles. But I'm establishing some boundaries. And I encourage all of us to do the same. One phone call has already come in. Still there on the voicemail. You can listen to it. Someone called Friday morning at 8:05. Wanting to know, Chris, if you perform gay marriages. Do you guys perform gay marriages? What do you think, Chris? Just establish some boundaries. Establish boundaries based upon not just my opinion, but based upon the word of Almighty God. Amen. So it doesn't really matter what people in authority might decree or declare. What matters is what God's word says. And if it means we've been cast into the lion's den, I'd rather be in the lion's den with God than to be among sinners without God. I'd rather be in the midst of fire with God and the Hebrew boys than to be out partying and worshiping some being out there, some idols out there, and thinking I'm having fun. But I can only have faith for that if I've established some boundaries based upon God's word. And so if I see prosperity primarily as material things, I'm likely to compromise my faith. But if I see prosperity as having God's favor and God's presence no matter what, then I'm not going to compromise my faith. You can't bribe me with material things. Because I'm convinced that as the people of God start to prosper and prosper even more, and they sense God's presence and they sense God's favor, that even the unsaved recognize the favor of God. Even Potiphar, who worshipped his own gods, could recognize there was something about Joseph, something about the slave. Darius the king recognized something about Daniel. And there's a principle throughout Scripture that when the people of God walk with God, unsaved, recognize something about the people of God, the presence of God, the favor of God, the peace of God, the joy of God that's at work in their lives. So it's an exciting time, I believe, for the church. Because as we put God first and as we establish boundaries, they'll become very obvious to the unsaved, the favor of God. Our children should be more stable, not having to live on all sort of medications, having to spend lots of time doing all sort of other stuff that the world has to do, because they're experiencing God's blessing and God's grace in their lives. And so I put here that one of the secrets of prosperity is to realize that God will bless others just because of us. You're working in His company, and just because of your commitment to God, God shows you wisdom. God shows you ways to solve problems. And you experience favor without compromising your faith. Sometimes in the midst of difficulties, when things don't look like they're lining up, you just have to affirm what the Word of God says. I've prayed these prayers over my children for years, declaring the truth of God into their lives, that they are blessed. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the town, blessed when they come home, blessed when they leave, that they are the head and not the tail, that they're above and not beneath. Because that's what the Word of God says. And I believe as we pray those things and release those things into their lives, as they go forth, God opens doors for them and God shows them favor as they take a stand upon the Word of Almighty God. And when you're in your circumstances, like Daniel and Joseph, the Bible says to do all things without grumbling and complaining. Daniel just served the king without compromising his faith. Joseph served Potiphar without compromising his faith. The Scripture encourages us when we work for the ungodly to serve as if we're serving the Lord. It says that about slaves in Ephesians 6. Serve your master as you serve unto the Lord. So you're not necessarily trying to do things just when they are looking at you, but you're working, you're giving them your best. One of the things I like about Daniel was that, and Joseph too, but we see clearly in Daniel's life, was that he was very respectful and thankful even to those who are in authority. In Daniel chapter 4, it's an example when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and you got a dream of a tree that was cut down, and none of the other guys could interpret the dream. Daniel came and he said, King, I wish this dream was for your enemy. You were so respectful, you were that king. I wish it wasn't for you. I wish it was for somebody else. But king, that tree represents you. And God is about to cut you down. God is about to humble you until you come to a place where you recognize that he is God. So king, I advise you to stop oppressing the people. I advise you to stop these sinful practices. That's what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4. And the king says, okay, that's what you say. And continued to live his life as he was living it before. And the Bible says 12 months later, God struck him down. Why? Because he's God and the king is not. God struck him down and caused him to go basically crazy for 7 years. Until he came to a place where he acknowledged that God is God. What am I saying, friends? As we are respectful and as we speak God's word and as we are thankful for God's work in our lives, God will intervene in the lives of the unsaved and cause them to realize that he's God. God will fulfill his will and his purposes. I don't have to get all antsy and bitter. I just keep loving because I know who's in charge and I'm excited to see how things are going to work out and I'm anticipating really a move of God, an outpouring of his grace, an outpouring of his spirit. Because it's promised to the saints who live just before the Lord returns. The latter rain, outpouring of the Spirit of Almighty God. And I know that God is the one who also rewards us as we are faithful in doing the simple things that are around us. So let me just share for a few minutes now some things we need to learn to deal with in terms of the realities of life. I repeat some of the stuff I've said before. But one, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't keep your eyes upon people. Don't keep your eyes on circumstances. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. So no matter what happens around you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Secondly, make up your mind that you're not going to compromise with sin. Because sin, you see, one of the things that happen is that when you prosper, when people realize that God is with you, the enemy is going to come and try and entice you. I mean, the enemy came and tried to entice Joseph. I mean, he's a young man with all of his hormones raging. And here comes this I call her agent of the devil. I mean, coming to try and seduce the young man. But he had already made up his mind. He's not going to what? Sin against God. So much so, the Bible says that he didn't even want to be around her. And I'm saying to us, friends, we need to make up our minds that we're not going to sin against God. We're not going to allow the enemy to send people into our lives to try and entice us into sin. So try this over here. No, I'm not going to try it. I'm not coming to you to in a nightclub. I don't need to be there. I don't need to sample that. And if promotion means that I have to go and drink up with you guys, well, you can keep your promotion. Establish some clear boundaries so that we don't compromise with sin. Because I put here, Satan targets those who are successful. He always does. That's why so many ministers fall. Because Satan's going to target them and they don't realize that they don't establish boundaries. And so as they experience what the world thinks is prosperity and success, the enemy just comes and entices them and before they know it, they fall. And I'm sure most of you here can perhaps count on your fingers 5 or 10 men of God who have fallen because they didn't establish some clear boundaries and keep their eyes on the Lord and Lord only. And so what? The enemy sets them up. He has been doing this for thousands of years. He's an expert at setting up the people of God. I put here that people react differently to our success. As God starts to favor you, whether it be on the job or in school or whatever it is, people react differently to your success. Some will be glad, but some will be envious. The other Babylonian men were envious of Daniel and the Hebrew boys. They're the ones who set the trap. When I was in college, one of the questions we put to each other is, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence for them to convict you without reasonable doubt? And I ask myself the same question and ask you the same question. Based upon how you live your life, if you were arrested today, would there be enough evidence that they would just be able to convict you quickly? Because there's so much evidence to show that you're a child of God. Or would it be that they'll say, well, we're not so sure because over here she was, her mouth was so filthy. I don't know if she's a Christian. No Christian wouldn't speak like that. Or she has so much hate. I don't think she's a Christian. He could never be a Christian. He's so mean and stingy. I don't think so. Well, live our life in such a way that when God blesses us and when God opens opportunity, that even those who are envious will have to acknowledge that God is at work. And even when they set plans and traps for us, we still are not going to allow our natural emotion to be what dictates how we respond to them. We'll still respond to them with love. Jesus said to love your enemies, which means you're going to have enemies, in case you didn't realize that. So he says, love your enemies. And remember what Paul says to Timothy, that all who live godly shall be persecuted. It's part of the promise. Jesus says that you get back natural stuff along with persecution. It's part of the promises of God. So you might as well just make up your mind. Sooner or later, you're going to experience some persecution. The way our society is going, it seems like it's going to be sooner, but that's all right. Two more things as we wrap this up. Remember that life has its peaks and valleys. Joseph went through the peaks and valleys. Things were great for a while until this woman came, and when she could not seduce him, she lied on the man. I mean, what a wicked woman. How many realize she's wicked? She knows her lie could get this man killed. It's only Potiphar's mercy where you'll end up in prison. You could have been killed. She's a wicked person. And there are wicked people all over who will do anything to try and get at you, anything to try and remove you from a position of success, anything that they just don't like your stance or your faith. So don't be surprised. And so Joseph ended up in prison. He's worse off now because at least when he was a slave, he could move around. No, he's locked away in prison. Life has its peaks and valleys. And if you keep your eyes on material things, you're going to get discouraged and depressed. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll always have hope and faith that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And because of Joseph's attitude, even in prison, God caused him to prosper. You understand what I'm saying, friends? Even when things took a turn for the worse, when people could question, where is God? God caused them to prosper. God caused them to be successful. And he ended up being in charge of the prisoners. And so I'm saying to us, church, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, God can still cause us to prosper. God can still cause us to be successful. Because for him, success means having him as number one and experiencing his favor, having his presence with us, having his peace, having his joy, things that this world can't take from us because it never gave them to us. That's why the Bible says the kingdom of joy is not meat nor drink. It's not natural stuff, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And finally, we can be like David, the psalmist, The psalmist says, you know, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. And then he goes on to say, you prepare a table for me, where? In the presence of my enemies. In other words, God still causes us to be successful. He still shows his favor. Still causes us to experience his peace and his joy in the presence of our enemies. When they do things and expect you to be upset and you can still smile, they're left flabbergasted, wondering, what on earth is wrong with him? And the scripture says, then they'll come and ask you the reason for your hope. And you can explain to them, say, since you asked, let me explain to you about this relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Friends, even when you're surrounded by your enemies, just realize that if you have the favor of God, God will still bless you in the midst of your enemies. Because what? His blessings don't depend upon people. It's because he's God and they are not. In the midst of whatever circumstance, you're walking through the fire. They turned it up 7 times as hot. He was there with the Hebrew boys in the midst of the fire. Walking around. They were walking around. Daniel was there in the lion's den. And that lion was hungry, I'm telling you. He was so hungry, but for whatever reason, the presence of God, the lion felt satisfied. But as soon as Daniel was taken up, and those men were thrown in, the Bible says that the lion devoured them. The lion is like, I smell meat. And I like what the Hebrew boy said. He says, King, God is able to deliver us. But you know what, King? Even if he does not deliver us, we're not going to bow down and worship any statue. So whoever it is, just let them understand that God is able to provide for me. God is able to keep me in this job. But even if I lose this job, you know what? I'm still not going to compromise my faith. Because God will provide some other way. God will open some other door. Because he's God. And he can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. If he has to send me to a widow to take care of me, he will. Let's just bow our heads this morning. I don't know what type of circumstances different ones of you are facing. But what's happening in our society is of such that each one of us at some point will have to answer the question, where do you stand in terms of God's word? And we need God's wisdom to know how to function in this world. Just like Daniel knew how to function, and Joseph knew how to function in a very heathenistic and a culture where we basically call them heathens, worshipping idols. He knew how to function. He'd go by himself into his house and pray, but he was not going to compromise. So even as you're standing here, just allow the Spirit of God to speak into your heart. Just allow the Spirit of God to help you to make up your mind not to compromise. To make up your mind that no matter what comes, if it means that they're going to fire you, that's all right. You're not going to compromise God's word. You're not going to be prospering no matter what the circumstances might be. Having God's presence and God's favor.